Women the Engineer would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians and owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded, the Yagara and Turrbal people of Meanjin. We pay respects to their elders past and present. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Hello and welcome to the episode of Women That Engineer. I'm really excited for today's chat. I think I'm going to say that every time, but I definitely mean it. Today, I'm sitting down to learn the story of a project manager with experience gained as an electrical, radio frequency, high frequency, and systems engineer. As a project manager, her role is to manage multidisciplinary teams across a portfolio of engineering, maintenance, and assist contracts spanning a variety of project stages. She is also an avid volunteer with a passion for creating community and culture, and for promoting personal and professional development. Wow. Hi, Zoe. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to learn about your journey. So shall we dive straight in?
Let's dive in.
Awesome. Okay. So let's start right at the beginning. When did you first hear about engineering and how did you start your engineering story?
So I'm a big fan of my story, and this is going to bring up a program that I'm very passionate about. But my entire childhood, I was very set on becoming a surgeon. I had two surgeries that saved my life and without which I wouldn't be here today. So I wanted to give back to everyone and do the same thing for someone else. So I was super set on doing my UMAT and all my medical studies. I was very passionate about maths and science. And I never, ever contemplated engineering. Eventually, a UQ Women in Engineering program leader, she was a student at the University of Queensland, she came to my physics class and talked about engineering, and the penny dropped. I knew that this was where I wanted to be, sounded like my people. It was a mixture of all the things that I was really passionate about. I liked how much variety there was involved in a career in engineering. I liked how engineering was a part of everything, and I discovered biomedical engineering, and that was a huge calling. So I ended up enrolling 2 weeks before QTAC was due and changing last minute my entire career path, and that's how I got into engineering. So big shout out to that program, because I wouldn't be in that career if it weren't for them.
Yes, wow. I for those who maybe haven't heard of it, Zoe, do you want to maybe briefly let our listeners know what exactly the Women in Engineering program at UQ is, maybe just for a little bit of context?
Yeah, no problem. So the UQ Women in Engineering program goes out to schools and talks about engineering and how accessible it is and how cool it is. They speak to high school students and try to inspire them to get into engineering. They do all sorts of interesting activities to engage them. And that's how I got involved. And then I also got involved in the program as a student leader when I was at university. And as a student leader, they created a sense of community, which I think helped me to survive the degree, because engineering can be very tough to study. And it gave you so many opportunities to network. It was a fantastic program. I'm very grateful and honored to have been a student leader, let alone someone that was actively impacted by them in high school.
Yeah, it's an amazing program. I was also a student leader during my time at university. I love what it stands for. Its impact is just so powerful. And I mean, look at you, you're an incredibly successful engineer, and you had the opportunity to follow that because you had access to learning what engineering is. But before we start like a fan club for that program, I really want to learn more about what drew you to, you obviously said you went for biomedical engineering, but how have you ended up in more of the electrical and systems engineering area?
So interestingly, when I went into biomedical, I ended up not particularly enjoying the biomedical classes at UQ. The biomedical side was a combination of biomedical and electrical. I think at QUT and other places you can do biomedical and mechanical and things like that. That combination, because I was studying electrical engineering at the same time, I realized I was enjoying that more. So I decided to become straight electrical engineering. So that's how I got into plain old electrical engineering. And then there's no systems engineering, as far as I'm aware. Maybe things have changed now. Degree specifically as a major in uni, but in industry it is a very, very popular type of engineering. So if you have a Google, look up the systems engineering B, you can learn all sorts of things about systems engineering, and that is a very, very useful skill to have out in the real world. And so I ended up going in, into a student role and becoming a systems engineer and learning all about that and applying that and getting into all sorts of different programs and really enjoying it because, again, it was different. I think at the end of the day, engineering is problem solving. If you like problem solving and you like learning new things, then you'll have a good time.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. I didn't really know systems engineering was a thing until, you know, I started working in industry, and I think it's actually really cool and it is really important. But following on from the fact that you're in kind of that electrical systems area, I think there's a bit of a stigma that there aren't any women in that side of the industry, and that there's this perception that it's a very male dominant area of engineering. Do you feel like that was the case for you, and has it impacted you in any way?
Definitely would impact you. I think if you notice that you're different, it impacts you. It was male dominated. I don't think it's a perception. I think that's the case. It's the reality. But I think obviously if we want to change that, we need programs that get people studying engineering in the first place so that there's more women studying it and therefore more women applying for jobs later so that there are more of them later in the industry. So yeah, it was male dominated. I don't think that's going to change quickly. We need to do a lot to try and make that change if that's what we want. And yeah, it can be hard because when you do notice that you have a difference to lots of your peers, sometimes that can impact you. But you know, it was also the case studying engineering. I don't know about you, but it was male dominated even just studying it. So you kind of have to adapt a little bit and figure it out and persevere.
Yes, I definitely think that it is still quite heavily male dominated, and especially in university, until you've kind of found your friendship group, which I obviously tend to go towards female friendships because, you know, I am a female. Yeah, sometimes when you have to go outside of your friendship zone, I was always like, oh, that's right, we are the minority here.
Yeah, exactly. I think that program was fantastic for me to actually connect with women, because in my electrical engineering degree, there wasn't many of us that were female. But I was very, very fortunate to have fallen into a fantastic group of male friends who were very supportive. But interestingly, they definitely had a different journey coming out of high school, and they had a history and generations of people who had gone into engineering from their school prior. That meant that they had this huge support network that I didn't have. So it was good to have that access, and they shared that with me, which I'm very grateful for. But again, that was, I guess, another hurdle that you would experience in university that you otherwise may not know, that sometimes you wouldn't have that generational kind of access and support. So that's why programs at university are so important to help support women to stay and continue studying it and not drop out.
Yes, I definitely agree with you there. That's also something I experienced. No one in my family or anyone I knew was in engineering. It was really quite daunting when these people are like, oh yeah, I know, you know, my dad's friend works at this company. And I think you're right. The power of those programs to make you feel included is, it's everything, really. I don't think I would have been able to get through if it wasn't for the women engineering program, all the women I met through that, and then like the female engineering society.
Yeah, I think you because it is such a tough degree, you can't survive without support. You really need it. It is a hard, hard degree, and that is why lots of people do drop out. And it's so important to look after yourself and so important to find the right support network.
Yes, I think you've nailed that on the head there. But maybe moving out of university, obviously I've introduced you as a project manager, so you're now leading a multidisciplinary team. Can I be a little bit pervy and ask what your path was to get to this role?
Of course, you can ask away. I had a student role at university. I worked very, very hard in that student role, working sometimes weekends, sometimes outside of typical office hours, close to 30 plus hours a week while studying full time. Holiday, I also worked full time. So I wasn't one of those people who traveled or anything, which I do regret. That's important. It's good to get life experiences. But I do think that accelerated my career because I got so much exposure and experience. I then decided to leave the company that I was at and go for a grad position somewhere else to get more exposure again. And from there, I worked my way up and they noticed that I was constantly striving and asking for more. So I got the opportunity to be a program manager and engineer hybrid. They were calling me some sort of a hybrid car in all of the monthly meetings and things like that. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. That gave me the taste of what being a PM was. And then eventually, because I was loving it, I asked to be made full-time and I became full-time there. And then eventually I moved on again for more exposure too. I think that's really important to keep learning, to keep challenging yourself. Now I'm at a new job and still learning new things, and that's when I'm the most happy. So I've been constantly kind of striving for the next promotion and role. I always work very, very hard in my annual reviews to justify why I'm exceeding expectations. I'm always doing more. I'm doing community service and working for non-for-profits outside of work as well as inside of work, and doing what I can to be on committees. I think that has all helped me to learn some important skills and to get more exposure, and has given me the opportunity to get some greater recognition, I think, which has helped me have that more accelerated career.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. What I really like is that you really did make it clear, like, this is what I want. Like, I'm putting in the effort. Please notice me. And I'm so glad that they did and they picked up on that. I've heard stories of people where maybe that hasn't quite happened. So congratulations. That's awesome. I think that's really inspiring.
I think it's certainly not easy. I can't say that it was easy and came to me a silver platter. I'm now working with this woman who is in the middle of her master's degree in project management and has so much potential, and I want to see her become a PM. She wants to become a PM. And it's been wonderful to support her and see her grow, and she's become my new outlet to help promote her and champion her. I think that's also been a bit of a game changer in my career as well, is finding the right type of people to support you and champion you. I guess that support network has come back into it again. I have had some incredible mentors and supports that I will forever be grateful to and will stay in touch with for the rest of my life. And I think finding those people, someone who's willing to champion you, is a game changer in your career. But I also worked hard. I would collate a lot of evidence as to why I'm exceeding expectations. I would never just take on the expected work. I would ask for more. I would finish things as fast as I could to the highest quality I could, and was very, very clear that my ambitions were to get to the next thing as fast as reasonably possible. Reasonably is an emphasis here, because then things can come into play, such as age bias and things like that, which I did struggle with. And sometimes you just have to keep that information to yourself and be judged purely based on your merit.
Yes, well, that leads me kind of perfectly into my next question, which is what your biggest challenges have been.
So in my career, I've definitely experienced age bias. I have been told by some memorable people that they were never that level at my age, so I will never be there.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, that's hard to hear. Very defeating. It makes you not want to work hard if that's the truth. But fortunately, I'm not the sort of person to stop, even if that were the truth. I just can't stop. I enjoy being productive. I enjoy learning things. And at the same time, to my own detriment, sometimes I can go a little bit overboard and not have work-life balance. So I'd say age bias has been a bit of a hurdle, and work-life balance. That's incredibly important now to me, is self-care and making sure that what you're doing is sustainable.
Firstly, I would like to say that I'm sorry that you've obviously had to go through that, and I credit you for being so inspiring in the way that you're like, you know what, that's, you know what, you think that's your opinion, but I know that I can do this, and you've done it. Because it's really scary sometimes when people say things like that to you. It can be really hard. So thank you for sharing that. I think that someone listening may have had someone say a similar thing, and I hope them hearing you say, actually, I've been able to rise above that. Hopefully someone else can as well. So thank you for that. I'd love to maybe talk a little bit more about what you kind of do for your self-care, for your work-life balance. Like, do you find that, you kind of finish the day and you're really tired and you need something to relax your mind, or is it more kind of like a physical outlet?
So, I do not have all the answers for it, but what I'm doing at the moment is trying to switch off. I do have a work phone. I love having a work phone so I can check in first thing in the morning, make sure that I can plan my day. I'm that person.
She's organized, you're organized.
I think it's really important to move. Movement is almost like meditation as well. You're focusing on the movement. It's great for pain. It's great for longevity. It's just great for your overall health. I think if you've got an office job and you're sitting down all the time, it's just so important to counteract that a little bit. So movement's really important. I'm trying to get a little bit more into mindfulness and meditation, and reading more and not watching things, because watching things is so tempting. I like to switch off and watch my trash TV.
Me too, me
Our
too.
maths is so great
Oh my
right
gosh, I was just about to say, maths is so entertaining.
It's so good. So I love doing those sorts of things. And yeah, just trying to sign off at a reasonable time and make sure that I have a bit of a routine outside of work that I don't sacrifice on a regular basis. Sometimes you do need to work extra hours to make a deadline work. I think that's really important and something that people look for in individuals that they're hiring. But you don't want to really hire someone that's, their standard hours and refuses to do anything outside that. There is a little bit of give and take where, sometimes they need some help and you just need to do a little bit of extra time or support, and the business will always be very grateful. Saying that though, they may not be grateful, but I think it is a expectation that you do reasonably make things work. I think that's in contracts even when you get hired, is you got your kind of standard hours, but then when appropriate and if realistic and not going to take a toll on your body, you work some extra hours as needed. And just but be careful to never let that get abused, I guess. I have done the just work all the time and sacrifice everything else thing. And it's definitely not sustainable. Burnout is not a fun thing. That is always something I have struggled with. I think I burnt out in university, honestly.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
And burnout is really hard to recover from. So it's not worth it.
I definitely agree with you there. And I love your advice there, you know, to prioritize yourself and, you know, make sure that you are switching off. And I love also trying to take away like my screen time often because I do look at a computer all day. So yeah, I love that.
I got a really good piece of advice at my previous workplace that was, you'll never get everything done, especially as a PM. And if you can't live with that, then this isn't for you. And it's harsh, but it's very true. And they meant it in a very caring way of you need to leave work at work and be like, I've done my best and I'm proud of that. And be at peace, sleep at night, go to bed guilt-free, do your best again the next day.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really cool. Sometimes people do think that like you got to get everything done before you go home. I think that's a really nice reminder. I love that.
Yeah, and the other good one that is obviously always said is the don't work to live. No, is that right?
Sorry,
don't live to work, work to live.
Yes. Yes, I love that one as well. I think it's a very catchy motto and very, very powerful when you can be in those states where you do get a little bit maybe wrapped up and you're like, oh, I got to get this done. You're like, nope.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to finish up today's episode, I ask this every time, but I would love to know what you think can be done to improve the experiences of women engineering based on your experiences or things that you've kind of seen generally in the industry.
Honestly, Lily, I think you're doing it. I think it is so important for us to talk openly, to talk about issues that we have. You know, everyone suffers from imposter syndrome. If we're all suffering from it, are we really imposters?
Yes.
I think supporting one another. There was something I watched the other day where it was like, if you need to lean on someone and, you know, they try to make you feel better, all you need is 8 minutes. If you have a mentor or a champion or a really good friend and you can borrow them for 8 minutes, it's a game changer. So I think having a great network, having open conversations, having programs that help with earlier in the timeline, earlier in the pipeline. I think all of those are going to be the things that help women in engineering.
I definitely agree with you there. I think that there is nothing anyone, particularly women, can't do if they've got support. Like I just think if you can share your stories and go, oh, I'm not alone, or oh, that isn't quite right, that can empower you to make those changes, to enjoy your career maybe a little bit more, to, you know, move to the places you want to be. And yeah.
I think, yeah, empowering one another to be more confident, to advocate for yourself better, to stand by your decision making, to negotiate better, to influence better, to call things out. I think with a fantastic support network, you will have so much more courage to do it. And I think that's what we should always be working on and striving to do better, is empowering one another, having great support networks, and talking and communicating and sharing.
Yes, and that is exactly what I want this podcast to do. I want people to hear these conversations and relate and leave it feeling empowered and supported, and meet people on our Facebook group, and, you know, meet other people and go, oh my gosh, stop, I had that happen, or congratulations on your promotion. And I thank you for coming onto the podcast and sharing your story, because you're contributing to that as well.
I'm truly honored, Lily. Thank you for being the wonderful human being you are. You are creating change and you are such an inspiration. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much, Zoe. That's so sweet of you to say. But I think that your story has really proved kind of the power of how important it is that we share engineering with more young people, especially young women. Your story of being a go-getter, You are inspiring in the way that you work so hard, and your hard work has paid off. And I think it's really cool to see such a successful woman like yourself. You know, you are something that I want to be. So thank you so much.
I love it. Well, thank you. And if you ever need to reach out to me anytime for anything, you just reach out. I'll always be there for you.
I definitely will. And to everyone else listening on, I will be adding a post in our Facebook group so that you guys can share your thoughts and your experiences about everything Zoe and I have talked about today. If you're new here, join our Facebook group, Women the Engineer, and join these discussions, meet like-minded female engineers. And Zoe and everyone, I guess I'll see you all in the next episode.
Thanks, Lily.